Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Michael Hanford.
Hi.
And Timothy Kalpakis.
What is up, Pluto TV stylies?
Hey, wow.
And we're your hosts of the third best podcast, comedy podcast on planet Earth.
Damn.
We got to plug that more.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's the kind of the green spots, not so much the blue areas, you know, those are a little more aquatic, but on the earth, all the green kind of land
terrestrial stuff. Yeah.
That's where a lot of the pods are coming from. And that's where we excel.
What does that have to do with the third best
on Earth?
On Earth.
Oh, on Earth. Gotcha.
Greens and blues.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah. Well, and some whites.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
that's snow.
And don't forget browns.
Well,
a lot of browns.
You sound like my proctologist right about now, Jeff.
Yeah.
Don't forget browns. Oh, sorry, Doc. I forgot them again.
Yeah, Mike,
you gotta push these things out of there.
What do we got going on back here? Well, you got the usual whites, but now you got some browns.
How's your toilet bowl looking these? Yeah, yellows and lighter shades of yellow sometimes. That's about it. Don't forget the browns. Oh, you're the best.
Ow.
Oh, Doc, can't sneak by you.
Your proctologist, does he do that thing where he takes out a color swatch and he has you point out what's been going in and out of here? This is kind of gross.
Would you recognize any of the colors that come in and out of here? Point to them on this chart, son.
And then I point to red, and he's like, oh, that's bad. I'm like, no, I sat on an Elmo doll.
Okay, so that's not bad. That's good.
That's good, I guess.
As long as it's just the Elmo doll.
A little scatological humor up top, huh?
Yeah, come on.
I know.
That's not good. People don't want to hear that shit.
Shit chat for sure.
This shit chat is kind of low-hanging fruit, kind of bottom feeder comedy. But if you noticed that this episode was Pluto TV stylies, and bringing it back to some highbrow satire.
Yes.
It's come to our attention that our IFC series, The Birthday Boys, sketch comedy cult classic, is now streaming on Pluto, folks, for free. So watch it there.
And that's free. That's a free app.
Have you guys used Pluto before?
I got it right here on the Roku.
Have you used Pluto.tv before?
No, it's
just like a website. No. You just go to it, and it's a channel.
Oh, yes. And it makes the... gives you the feeling of things airing, right? Kind of like things are playing on that.
More than the feeling, it is.
Oh. Well, you can have the feeling just because it is doesn't mean you can't have the feeling.
Yeah, you have the feeling because it is.
But is it on demand? Like you go on there and you just have to watch whatever they have on?
Well, there's multiple channels now. So it's just like, you know, back in the day, you'd go on that one channel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would have the channels scrolling, and you can be like, oh, great, we can watch Bones.
Yeah, but there's Bones again. God, Dad, they're putting Bones on so many channels these days. Well, Mike, it's a fantastic show.
I want to watch House.
No. I can't watch House.
Like, there's an IFC channel on Pluto with, like, Us and Garfunkel and Oates and Bunk and all that.
But it's just playing constantly? Or do you have to... Basically, what I'm saying... like
It's when, both. It's both,
it's
Michael.
Both. It's everything.
It's on demand, and you can just be like, hey, what's on IFC slightly off?
Yeah, wow. That's exciting. And now this is a TV show that you two were both on, and you loved it.
YouTube, we're both on.
YouTube. Yeah, did just any of your stuff make it onto YouTube?
Yeah, it'll end up there, sure. Can have a look.
Sure.
But folks, check that out. Pluto.tv, and also I believe it's an app.
get the app.
Like you can probably get that app going on your Apple TV, on your Roku, on your Sling Box.
That's where they call
not,
it.
And they're Apple not even paying TV. Us for this. This is just because we want you to see the old show.
We want you to see the show.
They better be paying us. Huh? Are we getting nothing off that?
Oh no, I mean like on the podcast here. One of our favorite sponsors.
No.
Of which we'll hear from soon, and God bless them. I hope you get all the products.
Each and every one of them.
Each better than the last.
I plugged this at the end of last week's show, but now the Audible original series I directed, Summer in Argyle, is now streaming. You can get it on Spotify or anywhere. And this is Bob Odenkirk wrote it with Nate Odenkirk and Naomi Odenkirk produced it. It's got Tim Robinson, John C. Reilly.
It's stacked.
Cavalcade of Mr. Show stars. Yeah. If you like to laugh, this is the Audible original for you.
Now, Tim, you're no slouch with a microphone these days. Did you get on it at all? Did you get lend your voice? Or were you
know I did a cameo up top episode one, Booge. Ticket person.
Ticket person.
Does it sound like Cookie Monster? Did I get some of that sweet Cookie Monster?
Yeah, I did. I did kind of the Cookie Monster voice, and I had a lot of fun. We had Eben Schletter of Mr. Show fame doing the sound design.
Oh yeah,
and
not
I was
just
playing
Mr. Show fame,
birthday boy fame as well.
Oh yeah, so his work's on Pluto TV.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I'll have to tell him.
He does the music on SpongeBob as well. But I was playing a ticket person at a museum, and he was doing the sound design. So I was like, hey, make it sound real funny, like I'm muffled up in a ticket booth, and then yeah. I'd be like, make it more muffled. Yeah, now give me one of those crackly microphones. That's my favorite thing to do, aside from the comedy. To just be picky about sound stuff is so fun. We do that with our albums. We'll record in 3 days. We'll write for a while,
then
we'll
polish for 3 months.
Yeah, record real fast, and then like bark at a mixer and give them notes for a year. Like,
no, oh, no,
son of a bitch, you've got it all wrong. You're ruining our vision.
Yeah,
Jason, yeah, you guys need a new prescription. I think that's the problem. You son of a bitch.
You say that to us.
Prescription. God, you're starting to sound like a New Jersey mobster.
We haven't heard from him in a while, have we?
No.
Maybe
someday. Yeah.
Well, maybe he'll come out again someday and hang with the old gang.
Oh, Tim, you should maybe tell. I was interested. You were telling me about how you did the Audible series.
Mm.
You know, you can't get that cavalcade of stars all together at once.
No.
So you were sort of the common denominator reading across from John C. Reilly and
all of them. Well,
Tim Robinson and all the greats, and then when they stitch it all together, they're talking to each other. But you were the guy in the nucleus.
Yeah, I'm kind of. Here's what I was with this thing. I'm kind of the master cat burglar. I swoop through, but then I leave without a trace. And so everyone was reading their lines with me.
Okay.
But then whoosh, when you listen to it, I've left the scene, and now David Cross is speaking to Jill Talley. Where's Tim? He's gone.
He's never here.
Without a trace. It's kind of one of the many benefits of COVID. I know we always talk about how good COVID is. But one of the many bennies is I thought we were going to record this show just in a studio in a week in LA. It ended up being months and months of solo Zoom records where an actor would be shipped like a microphone kit and then I would be directing them over Zoom. But the cool thing is like people couldn't get together. So we shipped them the kits, but then you also realize, like, hey, if we're shipping kits, these are people.
Ship the kit.
I'm always shipping kits left and right.
Tim, do you want to set up a studio time with Poussaint? Ship the kit.
Ship the kit and shut up.
S the K.
So who's juggling all the kit shipping?
This was a very good production team. I was putting a stamp on a microphone and dropping it off in the, the mailbox.
Yeah, we'll take care of the kit shipping.
Sounds like a headache.
Once you start shipping the kits, you realize this changes the world of casting, right? Like David Cross probably wouldn't have been available to do the thing in person anyway, but he was in Toronto shooting something in Toronto, and it's like, hey, we'll ship you a kit. Ship a kit.
He wasn't shooting the story of Wendell Clark, was he?
Wendell Clark, the hockey player that played for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It could have been.
Yeah. I figured they'd be shooting it up there. I don't even know if they're making that movie, but I figured they'd shoot
it
up
there.
If
they do, that's where they'd be shooting it.
I don't know what else they would bother shooting up there.
Yeah. And I don't know if David Cross is in that movie, if it's even happening or what.
Yeah. And speaking of movies, I'm actually working on something called Kit Shippers Incorporated. So if it comes out similar, if the, hey, any similarity to actual events, Tim, is completely coincidental.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I can't say you're going to get a piece of this one.
I don't want a piece of that. That sounds like your own thing. I mean, you've gone through the trouble of incorporating. So
yeah.
I'm doing a thing. This is more of a book that we're hoping to turn into a documentary than we turn into a movie. Like a fiction, you know, a narrative. But it's called, it's about a punk rocker who wears those big, you know, Doc Martin boots. And he gets his job shipping kits. And it's called The Ship Kicker Ships the Kits.
the Shit Kicker Ships the Kits?
Yeah.
Well, that's, I guess it's good. A race to the box office.
Yeah, well, for me, it's the publisher. I got to find the right publisher.
Right, you're doing the long way around, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I was remembered recently and was chuckling to myself? Is have we ever talked here on the pod about Mitch's character, Flannel Guy?
Yes.
Never...
Not on the pod, I don't think.
It was one of Mitch's, Mike Mitchell's many, like, kind of ideas where it's like, never, I don't know if any of it ever made its way to a script or anything, but he kind of walked around and be like, Dutz, we got to do that thing, you know? But we had this idea. It was a character. Mitch was a character that was Flannel Guy, and he was like a Seattle grunger who was going to get like zapped
in the
into
90s,
a different dimension.
Right?
He zapped from the 90s into like a fantasy world where he's trapped by a sorcerer. It was going to be a sketch runner, and then we got
wait. He got trapped in a crystal by a sorcerer, and then he got released when the sorcerer died of old age.
That was the
nobody
big
had,
ending. It was going
to
be a movie
had
where
to, like,
the,
defeat him.
He has no hand in his own success.
Exactly. Nothing that he learns or does. He just waited out. The wizard passes away of natural causes, and then it's over. He spends the whole movie in a crystal, and then he's just out.
I think he wrote a version of that at some point.
I think he did.
I remember a one page sketch where it's like the Flannel Guy's at Starbucks, like bothering people in line, telling him his lore.
Yeah.
But that was going to be like kind of like the cold open, and then he goes into it.
It's just like back when he wrote it, the 90s weren't that far away. So it's just a guy who lost like 15 years of his life. Like kind of a mild window of time to be missing.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind losing 15, but if it got up to like maybe 17 years, I'd be kind of sad about that.
You don't want those years.
If you lost 17 years of your life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh. Okay, well, speaking of bip time, guys, we got a message from Slophead Nathaniel Lane. Yeah, Nathaniel Lane. Yeah, he calls himself the Than Man. He says that he found this Booze News theme on vinyl in the secret basement lab of Lil Thrilla, and he snuck it into his BVDs and sent it to us.
Hold on. That's wild. So he got into the... He got into the basement of Thrill and Benedicto's house, or just Thrilla's house, I guess.
He only mentioned Thrilla, but
I don't know. Do we let the listeners in on the world building aspects of the pod?
Let's
what do you mean world building? We just found.
No, you're right.
Thrilla and Benedicto's.
Yeah, this man found this
too.
Tape,
and I bet you the Than Man did as well. He found it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
What is up? Okay, perfect. They're just blobs. What is up?
Living large, living large, living large.
What is up?
Hello.
It's one small step for man.
Remix.
Hey, it's us. We're back again. Tell your mom and dad and tell your friend. We're back in the studio and making a hit. Looking for a drink about an Aperol Spritz.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
You got your moves, your grooves, you're going for a cruise. You're looking for the facts. You got Duddy and Timmy and Mikey with a... You got the sloppy boys, it'll all be okay.
It's Booze News, you fine ladies and gentlemen.
was that really them? I couldn't tell if that was
imposters.
Really them.
It sounded well. You know, we hate that. We hate Benedicto and Thriller, but
that
yeah, sounded like awful. Them. Like they suck. So that sucks. So it probably is the same. It probably is the same thing because we hate those guys.
Yeah, it wouldn't really matter if it's the real them or fake them. Either way, those guys suck even when they're at their best.
They suck. I know. It's tough to find. And also, when you're finding vinyls in the basement, it's probably unreleased stuff for a reason.
Yeah. So even those guys didn't release that one.
So even Thrilla and Benedicto's bad stuff is woof.
Ready for today's top booze news story?
Yeah, but what happens if I have a theme, Tim? What if I have a booze news theme?
You're going to want to go ahead and email it to thesloppyboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah.
What if I forgot the password to my email account?
Well, I think it's 12345 password.
Gulp.
Okay. Here's anecdotal. Ooh. This is news that happened to me.
Mm.
This is nice.
A little bit of news of the weird.
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give too much of a glimpse into my deep, dark personal life, but you guys know I've been tinkering with the Kelpie cordial.
It's a
drink that I drink, and I want to get the measurements right. You know, I don't want to just say, "Hey, everyone, here's my drink." I want to be able to give a nice, clear, as if I were the IBA list. So I've been tinkering in the test kitchen slowly, taking my sweet ass time with this drink that is essentially cherry Coke with spiced rum in it. Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
A tinker with other things too. Then, you know, when
Taylor, Soldier Spy.
You know when you're taking your sweet ass time and then somebody comes along and just scoops you? Because you gotta be.
Oh, shit.
If you're on the top of the game, you got to be producing. You have to be prolific. Quick. You can't sit around on the back lines. Oh, maybe I have an idea, but I don't know.
Right.
Have you guys seen The Batman?
Yes.
Not seen.
You've heard?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I've heard. And seen other versions.
Ah, yes. Hey, well.
Tim, you asked me if I've seen The Batman?
Sure thing, sweetheart.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
There he is.
Huh?
Is that how Pattinson delivers?
that's Pattinson.
Yeah.
Whoa, take it easy, sweetheart.
Sounds like a side character in a video game that you would like blow by in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen.
Oh, okay, did you happen to see it at AMC brand theaters?
Yeah, I saw it at the Americana.
Did you stop by MacGuffin's Bar at the Americana?
No. Why?
Well, they've been running a little promo drink, haven't they? Because they want to promote their little film that they're so proud of, The Batman. And they had a couple of themed cocktails, one for Catwoman that was like a gin type of a drink. Then a drink called The Batman. And this fucking drink.
No.
Oh, no.
Kraken Dark Spiced Rum. Coca-Cola and grenadine.
Ay,
and I said to myself, I got to try this thing. I ordered it. It was delicious. They nailed it.
Oh, shit, man.
Now, Kraken is dark. It's like a dark black rum, but it is spiced rum. I had been using Sailor Jerry or Captain Morgan. And, you know, grenadine is technically not cherry. I guess it's like artificial pomegranate.
Yeah.
Pomegranate. But put it all together. I still drink, you know, these things. Harry from Harry's New York bar can say that he invented a drink while the Bucks Club in London says that they've invented it. So
Tim, you just need to have one ingredient different.
Yeah. I kind of do because mine is cherry Coke flavor. No, but it would be probably, the thing was that theirs was better than mine. That's what I'm really admitting.
I drank it. Well, yeah, that's
here's
a,
what I liked
that's
about
blow.
Theirs. That's it tough. Was a big, it was a plastic, like a beer size cup. So it was a nice big highball. You know, when you get a soda thing and it's not strong. And so I was in the movie, you know, eating my hot dog and my pretzel and all my dibs.
No dibs? Oh yeah.
All my many, many dibs. And, you know, something amazing happens with rum and Coke. We know it from the Cuba Libre.
Oh, yeah.
But
Stone Cold Classic.
I think I'm just going to start a kind of a rivalry with. I love that they call their bar MacGuffins as if it's like that's a movie reference, a pun thing, but it's also like just, it does sound like a nice hometown pub.
Yeah, it does. Also, wait, just for the listeners at home who don't know what a MacGuffin is, that's something that the characters are in pursuit of, and it's like,
it's a like, way to kick off the story without any like real, it's just like something that
happens.
It's
like the thing you're going for.
You gotta get. It's like, it's like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction or the Infinity Stone or whatever.
The one in film school, and they used Psycho is the example where it's like that lady's going after like the money or whatever. And it's like, this is really a film about a weirdo guy, you know, but having the MacGuffin of like that money she stole or whatever is like the impetus.
Yeah. An object or device in a movie or book that serves merely as a trigger for the plot.
There you go.
You don't really want, like, it's funny because it's a kind of an empty term. People will be like, oh, don't worry, it's just a MacGuffin. And ideally there's like an emotional subtext to it that's more important. But I think if you do a good job, no one's going like, oh, that's just a MacGuffin. You know, like, you're supposed to care.
Yeah, yeah, you're supposed to care. Rosebud.
They didn't even know they were looking at MacGuffin the whole time.
It's me, MacGuffin.
There was one movie, I saw a movie that didn't have a MacGuffin, this one didn't particularly have a MacGuffin, but it had McLovin, which was sort of serving the plot.
I've seen a similar movie to that, yes.
Yeah.
When I was a production assistant at Gracie Films on the Sony lot, I would always see this Ford Mustang with the license plate, vanity plate, McLovin. And I was like, I can't believe that guy got McLovin his license plate. And then turned out it wasn't him. Just some guy that works.
What is his name? It's three Christopher Mintz-Plasse. Yeah.
Wait, Tim, before we get too far from the Calbee Cordial.
Yes.
I remember at one point you mentioned what a Calbee Cordial was, and I was like, I don't think that's the same as what you said it was last time.
Well, I was starting to doctor it up with other things, and then after the rusty nail, I was saying it's so nice to just have a two-ingredient drink that I shouldn't cloudy it. But what I had been doing is a little amaretto just on the top. Little
See, Tim, that's the key. That's the key to making it the Calbee Cordial.
What it could be is like, everyone knows with a Russian root, it's vodka and it's root beer, but then you get to choose for yourself if you're taking the ice option.
Right.
So maybe a Calbee Cordial has something like that in the mix where there are
you
those
can
people.
Customize it.
They can privately decide to themselves if they want to customize with the amaretto splash.
Well, is there anything you enjoy that like a liquor or a spirit or something or a add-on that you enjoy that you can just pull a U-turn and throw that in there, and that's the Calbee
Cordial. You know what you should do, Tim, is like some signature thing that maybe doesn't even change the taste too much. It's like a garnish.
Yeah.
Maybe the Calbee Cordial, you put a guitar pick in there.
Yeah.
Don't swallow the pick. That would be like a fun thing. Don't swallow the pick.
Don't die.
Well, what if it's a triangle of pineapple and that's the pick? Like that's representation.
Pineapple pick.
Because he's a tiki guy. So.
Yeah.
And I'm a guitarist and I'm a freaky tiki. This is pretty good.
And also, you could just bump up one of the liquors by a half of an ounce, and maybe that's like the new part of it.
I like that we've decided that this Calbee Cordial is a runaway train. It has to happen.
I have to
do some last minute rewrites to just make sure that I don't get sued on it. I mean, I guess I'm going to stick to my guns, but I just want to congratulate AMC Theaters and MacGuffin's Bar for making a good drink. It is good. Grenadine is good, and it put me in the mood for the grenadine that we're gonna have in tonight's drink as well.
Oh, well, you know what stinks about the S? Well, we'll keep that under wraps for now. What stinks about that Batman drink is they made the Batman drink for this movie. The movie's not going to be in theaters for the end of time. We all know that. So the drink is just going to go away, and it's going to be like, oh well, now no one knows. No one's going to order the Batman in any other.
Right. I mean,
and Batman's come and go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This podcast is a living, breathing document that you can check in on.
It's just funny when someone does good work, like they overshot, like whoever it was, like AMC, some guy at AMC was like tasked with like promotions and the drink stuff. And he was like, okay, I got this. I'll like farm this out to some company that comes up with the drink recipes for us. Mm-hmm. And whoever it was, they came up with a Batman.
Got to be Kraken.
You're probably right. It was probably Kraken. And if you're cracking, it's pretty straightforward because we're just talking about rum and coke, add a little grenadine, probably just based on maybe this aesthetic of the red letters of the Batman, right? They're like, redden it up. Blood. Bats.
I wouldn't be surprised if the person in charge at Kraken, in charge of coming up with that, listens to the podcast.
I would love
it
that.
It would not surprise me.
Yeah.
It might be Nathaniel Lane. Yeah. But isn't it funny when someone just unexpectedly does a good job? You're watching like a bad TV show and you hear a really good music cue and you're like, what are they? Why'd they waste that here? Especially, probably happens the most with music because there's some really talented musicians working in some very silly places.
Thank you.
And you'll just be like, Mike, we got to get you out of that Slobby Boys.
Yeah, man.
The Slobby Boys music is the good part. This is the silly place I work.
Yeah. I like this being your work. I got to go to work. I would like to be taking my bass for a walk, but here's what you got to do. If you're working in a strange place, don't do good work.
Yeah, toe the company line.
Someone says we need a drink for the Batman. You say like, okay, 44 ounces of milk.
You know,
the opposite of Batman, just a tall white beverage,
white milk. You know what? You know, we're from time to time coming up with movies for us Sloppy Boys to be in. Working in a Strange Place would be a good title.
Ah, yes. Mm.
But the three of us working in a place, it's a little different.
Yeah.
Maybe makes the mind real.
Yes. Well,
what is this place? What's so different about it?
Is it a horror movie? Could be. Could be.
Yeah.
Could very well be.
And then we act like that kind of during the movie. Audience is sort of like, what kind of movie is this? And we're like, we won't say.
We won't say. Starring the Coy Boy. Well, yeah. I have a little piece of tape that I want to share with you.
Love it.
How'd
you come across this tape?
This came across, Acast put me on it, and you just play it.
Sure. I mean, I'm a little...
The production company got me into it.
A little wary of Acast reaching out to you behind our backs.
Yeah, they just like me to do some extra stuff and get the word out on things.
Gale Watch 2022.
Hey guys, it's Mike up here in the Gale Watch 2022 Chopter Copter. I am making the rounds in the city, checking out all things Gale, and we just received some very interesting information here. I'm just going to get it out of the fax machine. Okay, we are getting reports now, and this is something I had no idea about. Gale is 17 years old. I mean, that is incredible to think of an artist with so many versions of the same song. It is only 17 years old. I'm very impressed. And what makes it even more impressive is that Gale has always been compared to maybe living in the shadow of Liv Rod. Of course, Olivia Rodrigo, who had the big hit Brutal from last summer. Or Brutal, I barely remember it now. Now the interesting thing here, for everyone who's been making the comparisons of between Gale and Liv Rod, Liv Rod is 19 years old. I mean, that's barely a comparison. She's ancient history at this point. To be 19 years old in this business and be shown up so handedly by Gale, well, the data speaks for itself. I mean, it's pathetic and it's ridiculous. And I'm surprised that Liv Rod has even attempted to keep a career going in any type of semblance of the word. She's already 2 years older than Gale, and by all accounts, failing miserably. As we can see, Gale is just pushing ahead and making the sort of alternative rock pop world. Her bitch, which we over here at Gale Watch 2022 just think is so fantastic and so exciting. Okay, back to you guys in the studio, guys. I'm going to stay up here in the Gale Watch 2022 Chopter Copter, keeping you, the listener, informed on all things Gale.
Wow.
Gale Watch 2022.
Yes.
So wow. Yeah, we got more Gale info coming in all the time.
I got to say, you know, initially it was like, whoa, you get this cool eye in the sky, objectively kind of reporting on Gale. Yeah, and I feel like the objectivity is kind of slipping away.
It's editorial now.
And now it's becoming a little bit more like we're taking sides, it seems like.
We definitely took that. We like Fox News or like a lot of these, you know,
pick a side. Yeah,
news corporations. Yeah. You pick something and you push it hard and you create a narrative and you separate people and you try to pit people against each other when there's really nothing there. But yeah, that's what we're doing.
We're doing that. Yeah,
we're doing that. And
yes, continue, please.
Oh, and it's very exciting.
Yes, I agree. I think it's very exciting. I personally, you know, like it's cool for me because like I do side with Gale Watch. It kind of aligns with my values
sure,
and everything.
Same. Just to be clear.
Because huge Liv Rod fan, but she's kind of old and just
long in
to
the
be
tooth.
2 years older than Gale, just not doing a lot of versions of songs. You know, like Driver's License was, I think I heard maybe the biggest debut single of all time, and Good For You was a giant hit. Gale Watch mentioned her hit Brutal, which is an album track, not even a single, but she has only come out with one version of each of her songs.
Gale Watch isn't up on all the Liv Rod stuff.
Right.
That's not their department.
Oh, that's not Gale. Yeah, that's not Gale Watch's whole
that's
thing.
That's not Gale Watch's thing. So I can forgive that, but keep going, Tim.
Well, I just have one question. Mike, I think it's so cool Akos gave you the money and they're kind of splurging a little bit to give you the chopter copter. So
and the fax machine.
And the fax machine. That was new this week. Because it's nice that we don't have to land every time we want to, you know, check in with a fax. Now it just goes right up into the...
Well, that brings up a good point, is that like the news was from the fax. Last week you were kind of going through her tour dates. I'm kind of wondering, is it necessary? Is the altitude... Is the eye in the sky element necessary?
Is that part of it anymore?
A lot of the information you share is kind of what we would just get off Wikipedia, I think.
Yep. You know, that has been brought up in several of the staff meetings between me and my staff and with the Acast people. And they keep saying, do you need this? And it's like, well, we have it.
Right.
And we're not giving it back to you.
It's budgeted for, and that's
right. We have the keys. We have the pilot. So that's that.
It's just, I'm like, this week's Gale Watch, you're lucky you got that fax, because otherwise you're just kind of up there, kind of just stuck up there in the sky without what you want.
Well, I bet, you know, he can always glean some information from up there, I bet.
Sure.
It was a boring week until that fax came in this afternoon, so we didn't
have...
Oh,
you were up there for a week.
Yeah, just checking out the city.
Well, I hope that when Gale's tour kicks off, that she's up there in a private jet and maybe you see her up there with you.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. But yeah, so that's we'll keep that coming as news develops.
Love Gale.
Nice.
Gale, if you're listening to the pod, we would love to have you on, or, you know, if you could call in the Gale Watch or fax Gale Watch.
Well, that's crazy that she's 17 years old, so she wouldn't even, you know, she can't drink, so she wouldn't, like, know what to... We'd have to be like, I don't know, just talk about your music, Gale.
She could have one of those kind of 44-ounce milks at the AMC thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That should be the Bruce Wayne. You know, the Batman. The Batman is the cherry cordial, and the Bruce Wayne is 44-ounce milk. 2%.
Bruce Lame.
Bruce Swain.
Bruce Swigster, how about that?
That's good.
Not really going off of... I'm Bruce Swigster. Bruce Swigster. Oh, so you're Batman? No. That may not be Bruce Wayne. I'm Bruce Swigster.
Mike, we got to get you a meeting over at DC Comics. You kicked the door down. Bruce Swigster, how about that?
Could you imagine me pulling up to the landing on the headquarters of DC Comics in my chopter copter?
Kicking down the door. Yeah. Listen up, I'm Bruce Swigster.
You are? Well, no, that's what the character will say. I'm hoping to get Robert Pattinson to play him.
Ooh, the Batman, he's good.
Batman Doodle.
From Batman to Batman.
Yeah, soon to be Pac-Man. Has he ever played?
Yeah, but my junior high football team nickname was Pac-Man, so they could make
really
about that.
Pac-Man.
Yeah. Pac-Man, get off your ass.
Get off your ass and sack me.
Coach, I don't want to sack you. I want to sack the other players.
I want you to sack me. I forgot what it feels like to play.
Okay, coach.
I saw a little clip the other day of a football, like, college team getting ready for a game, and the players are lined up, and the coach is going down, like, each player just kind of, like, hyping it, like, pushing him a little bit. And he really got into it with one guy, and they started, like, really shoving each other, and the player's, like, helmet got knocked off, and I was like, whoa, this is...
I call that toxic masculinity. I'll tell you what pissed me off. Did you ever, either of you guys play football?
No.
No,
Tim. I played for, in junior high, very, very bad. Let's not
act like it. And saxophone.
I played a little tabletop football, maybe.
Mike, didn't you play a little pocket pool?
Watch yourself, buddy. Yeah. I could reach through this screen right now and strangle you.
Well, I was, kind of the heel of a bad football team, but it was fun to hang out with friends, but we were just kind of clowning around. But here's what really pisses me off is in the genre, that type of thing, the kind of like getting each other revved up and everything.
Yeah.
If someone grabs the cage on the front of your helmet, the mask part, it made me so mad because like they're like now like that. in control of your body, like
of your head,
like, and then like pulls you wherever you go, and people would come up to me like, "Come on, Pac-Man, get revved up," and they would pull on my thing, and I'd be like, "I'm going home. This sucks. Fuck you, dude."
Also, like revved up. What do you mean revved up?
I never responded well to like the coach being like mean.
Mm.
On TV shows, it's like, he's tough, but then when he does praise you, it like means so much. I was like, that just works on dumb fucking jocks.
That worked on me because he was tough on me, and then when he praised me, he sat me down and was like, Tim, your eyes are blue like the ocean.
Wow.
Your hair is as auburn as a sunset.
I remember I was playing on a hockey team, and I was having a bad couple games and practices, and the coach was yelling at me like in front of everyone, in front of the parents and stands and everything. And I was like, this sucks. And he brought me in after a game into his office, and I was like, well, I'm getting the sack here. And he sat me down, and he pushed play on his boombox. Mm-hmm. And you hear that sort of like little beat come through. And then I just hear, I'm not to praise you like I should. And I danced around to Fatboy Slim we listened to that song probably on repeat 3 times.
Wow, so like 12 minutes probably.
12 minutes.
Man.
Then he sacked me.
Sack me, Henny boy.
Sack me. You sack me. Kiss my ass.
You sack me, I'll sack you, dude.
We got to get out of booze news here.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is the longest booze news.
Still deep in
the
booze
news. Fuck.
All right. What's the drink of the day? Who's got it?
That's me, my man. Today we are drinking something called, something I don't like the name of, the monkey gland. The monkey gland.
What's wrong with that?
I don't like the sound of it. The gland part.
You don't like the word gland?
No. Now, have you guys ever heard?
No.
No, I thought I had heard, and then I was like, oh no, I've only heard because of scrolling the IBA list for this podcast, and we talked about it in episode one. Like, there's some funny names on here, but I've never heard of it.
When we first discovered the IBA, this one jumps out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm excited for it.
There's not a lot of other glandular drinks on the list, so this one definitely stands out.
Let me read you the very short history here on Difford's Guide, because it's concise. I'll go into more detail afterwards.
Love Difford.
Sure.
The history. Created in the 1920s by Harry McElhone.
Hey!
McElhone? How do we pronounce that, Tim? From Harry's New York Bar in Paris.
I think you nailed it. The Harry's New York Bar. We've talked about this all the time.
McElhone, France, the monkey gland takes its name from the work of Dr. Serge Voronoff, who, convinced that testosterone was vital to a long and healthy life, transplanted monkey testicles into elderly Frenchmen.
What the fuck?
Now, what the hell is going on here?
Wow.
So there was a doctor named Serge, Voronoff. Voronoff. Who he would take little bits, like probably like at a cellular level, and inject them into men's undercarriages in the 20s. And in hopes that it would make them virile again.
Did it work?
But who knows? I didn't get into his It's lab results.
Jesus Christ.
I've been doing it the old-fashioned way and going and filleting all these monkeys. Now they find out they can do an injection. Jesus Christ.
I just like the transplanted monkey testicles into elderly Frenchmen.
elderly. So, and
can you imagine
it,
that era?
What did it do
the
to the Frenchmen? The idea was to make them...
Tim, it pumps them up.
Because it was just... I think... I don't know what they thought was going to happen, but like...
Virility?
Yes, that was the idea, to get their get the rocket to take off one more mission, yeah. Let's say.
One last mission.
I'm seeing thyroid gland as well.
Yeah. That would be great. They should do, you know that movie Space Cowboys? They should do one like that where a guy has one last boner.
Huh. What was the, I'm thinking of Wild Hogs.
Yeah, that's wild good. Hogs. And Old Dogs.
Old Dogs and Wild Hogs. Wait, was that the same cast? Anyway, monkey gland. So
they're both Travolta and I think maybe director.
Ooh.
But wait, he didn't direct those, did he?
No, same director for both movies.
Gotcha. So yes, it was Harry from Harry's in New York invented this, but there's also Frank Meyer, M-E-I-E-R, at the Ritz Paris, who also may have invented this at the same time. And we know from past stories that Harry McElhoney maybe takes some credit where it's not correct.
You nailed it, Andrew. Yeah. I think that you're right. I think that this, it's because Harry came out, he put out the books. He had like the ABCs of cocktails or whatever. So people tend to attribute cocktails to him. But that Ritz Paris is one, just like the Bucks Club and the Berkeley Hotel and stuff like that. Yeah. Ritz Paris is always in the mix. And that was like a Hemingway hangout, and they made like really good drinks. And so I'm guessing that they invented it, and then Harry just put it in his book, and then people started saying, "Congratulations, Harry!"
Good position to be in, though. You compile talented people, interesting stuff, and then you are the talented, interesting one.
It's almost as if Paris in the 20s had sort of a scene of like creatives, kind of a movable feast in the city of lights.
I was going to ask, was the feast movable?
you know, unless, does it say in there that the
feast was stationary?
The feast was static.
Yes, it was riveted down to the top of the bar. Yeah, so the feast was not moving at this place. But the idea of like the monkey gland, that's all well and good to have a silly name. But the idea here is that, well, let me go through the ingredients and I will.
Yeah, I've got a theory. I'm cooking up a theory over here.
Okay, hold on. Let me find. I didn't have this up. Let me find monkey gland. I'm typing with one hand. IBA.
What's the other one doing, Mike?
It is holding a highlighter. I find myself on Zooms. I like to kind of have something in one hand and just pop the cap on and off. Okay, here we go. The monkey gland. Ingredients. 45 milliliters dry gin. Well, you know I got that. 45 milliliters fresh orange juice.
Nice.
1 tablespoon absinthe. 1 tablespoon grenadine syrup. Method, pour all ingredients into a cocktail shaker. Shake well with ice. Strain into a chilled cocktail glass. Garnish, not on your life. What I like, so this is great. I love the cocktail glass. What is the monkey gland part of it is... So without the absinthe, this would kind of just be like gin and juice, basically.
Yeah.
With a little bit of like grenadine to give it something. But the absinthe put a little testosterone into what would be like a pretty average
drink.
Put
some hair on your chest type mentality.
Yeah, so it's a little cheeky kind of fun thing to say, the monkey gland thing was happening at the time, these tests and whatever. So I get that. I kind of like that little joke, that little humor.
It reminds me of like how like 100 years later with the penicillin is sort of like, you know, it's got honey and lemon in it. It's healthy. It's the medicine. It's like a penicillin. It's kind of a winky, little winky name.
That's cool.
They were having fun.
There should be a new one of these that's got a little bit of, blue chew in there.
Yeah,
some natural male enhancement.
Jeff, we know that Blue Chew is a service and a website that you go to, not an actual product.
What?
You don't chew on a gummy?
There are gummies involved, but Blue Chew is
the service.
It's not. I had a phone call with the reps, and that was
okay. What they? My bad.
Yeah,
it's sort of like how with M&M's? There's not just one M&M. It's a lentil.
Oh, same with Skittles.
Oh, Skittles is the one.
A lentil. Yeah. Oh, right.
Because Skittles came out and said, our individual pieces are not called a Skittle. And people went, huh? And they said, we refer to them as Skittles lentils.
And then the whole world was like, well, why? Like, we just came out and made a big deal about saying something we all don't like now. And
yeah.
Like, and never mind.
We all had we were all buying your product and talking about it with such
we all loved that candy
praise. We loved it. We don't necessarily like the tropical flavors, but we like the original.
Yeah, the original. Oh, my God.
Gland is one of these words in this cocktail name. You know when the euphemism for something is way worse, you know, when it's like someone's like, oh, I'm going to go poopy. And you're like, oh, gross.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't say that. I feel like if this drink was called the monkey ball, funny, I like it. A little sassy.
Right, right, right.
But gland?
But in the 20s, yeah, in the mid to late 20s, I don't think they would have said gland or balls.
I like gland.
You like gland?
I'm going to bat for gland.
Right. I just don't like thinking of testicles as glands.
Hey, but gland, you got glands all over the place, Tim. That's the beauty of it. It makes it more generic.
Yeah, but what about in my scrotum?
Well, you got two right there.
Boom.
Two big boys.
Boom.
Now, is this served up, Michael? Or are we doing cubes in the glass or no cubes in the glass?
Nope. This is a shake and strain.
Hmm. I don't know if I like that.
Jeff, you like it when cubes are left behind.
Yeah, but only when it's on fresh cubes.
Oh, that's true.
What is 45 milliliters to an ounce again?
Ounce and a half.
1.5.
Yeah, all right, that's what I thought.
So this is going to be a nice drink. It's going to have some volume to it.
Yeah, it's going to be half.
Okay. Well, folks, we're going to go make these drinks, and when we come back, we'll talk about them.
Well, that's great.
That's actually perfect. That works out great.
That's great.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Sloppy Boys is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey folks, Mike Hanford from the Sloppy Boys here, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever have this feeling like you got to get something off your chest? You know, you're walking around with something and you go, I just got to tell someone this, I just got to fix this thing. It happens to us all. We all carry around these different stressors, big and small. That's just how it is. But when we keep bottling it up, it can start to affect us negatively, and that's not good. But therapy is here to help. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work on whatever's weighing you down. Now look, you know me. I've been to therapy. I'm the therapy guy. I love it. And I gotta say, it does help when you go in there and talk to the therapist and say, you know what? My two co-hosts piss me off on a daily basis. It's weighing me down. What am I gonna do? That, of course, is a joke example, but you get what I'm saying. You can tell the therapist what you're feeling, and they'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Now, listen to this. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That's pretty good. So, folks, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppyboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppyboys. Go in there, talk to somebody, get it off your chest, have a great time.
And we're back with Monkey Glands. Folks, I hope you enjoyed the ads. Maybe you didn't enjoy the ads. Maybe you want to go over to our Patreon, join the Big Money Hustlers tier, and you can skip the ads. You don't even have to skip them. You don't get them.
You know what actually is a tier over there that you can get everything? You can get the no ads. You can get all the songs we've ever done. We get questions for Lennon each month. Is the Pay Pig.
That's a good tier.
They get that one. So get on over there and become a Pay Pig.
Well, they might not be interested in that. That's just for the dirtiest little piggies of all.
Yeah. Well, there's only the two options. There's only there's only Slophead, and then we're doing away with Big Money Hustlers.
Wow, Michael, big choices. Didn't know.
Yep. We're taking that away. We're taking it off the table. So if you want to hear all that stuff, it's Pay Pig or nothing.
He's lying, folks. You don't have to get off on your subscriptions. I'll tell you what happened with this drink, guys. I feared this much.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
I go into my kitchen and I say, Timmy, you got multiple options for the grenadine. I know that Hanford and Jeff probably have that electric red roses grenadine.
Yeah, that's right.
That celebrity bartender Jack Schramm makes fun of.
Hey.
But it'll give you a nice pink drink, right? Mm-hmm, I said, Tim, at the Ritz Paris in the 20s, they were probably using this kind of like fancy old timey grenadine you have. It's more of a dark purple, but you run the risk of a brown drink. And I present to you here a disgusting looking brown.
Oh, drink. Wow.
It's gross. Yeesh. It looks like iced coffee.
It looks like coffee.
Looks hideous.
The thing about this drink, like I'm looking at the pictures from the IBA or just like other articles, they do have like a little bit of a tequila sunrise-ish look.
Yeah, and they shouldn't because you shook it, or you're supposed to shook it.
Yeah, mine just, maybe it's just the lighting. Mine just looks like a ruby red.
Ruby red. Ocean spray.
Ocean spray.
Tabasco sauce.
Tabasco sauce.
Hey, speaking of which, look at these little Tabascos I have. I got three of them right here. I don't even know
of course you do. You pull those off your shirt.
You guys know I don't love a cocktail glass too tippy. Look at me. I already spilled on the way in here.
I know.
That's a nice looking coupe though, Jeff. I like it.
I've brought this up to my face, Jeff. You gotta hit the green light on this because I'm going to spill.
Absinthe coming through. Mine is right at the forefront.
Yeah.
Mm.
Tastes like a Good and Plenty.
It tastes exactly like a Good and Plenty.
The absinthe kind of just like...
takes over.
Yeah.
Dominant.
As it's wont to do.
It's funny because there's only a tablespoon of it. There's an ounce and a half of gin.
Yeah.
Not tasting that.
I don't taste the orange juice at all.
It's just a base. Just to give you a volume.
Yeah.
What kind of OJ do you guys use?
Tropicana. Oh,
I used Wegmans. I went to the Wegmans recently.
Ooh, I miss Wegmans.
Yeah,
missed the deli, missed the big old subs.
I was in the orange juice aisle. I was like, what am I going to pick here? And one of the people in that section came up, the employee came up and said, hey, is Jeff going to come around at all anytime? And I was like, well, I don't think so.
He got that honey mustard he loves so much.
Yeah.
Mike, they got Wegmans in Brooklyn?
They got a Wegmans. And I hear they're putting one up in Manhattan, which seems...
Wow, Manhattan town. Wow. I'll tell you, Wegmans was ahead of the curve because before Whole Foods went national, Wegmans was the only place where I was like, man, the hot food counter is like restaurant food. This is amazing. You could go get, you get hot, go there for lunch on your lunch break and eat a good meal. And then, I mean, I still prefer Wegmans, but Whole Foods now has sort of normalized that where you're like, you could eat food at hot food at a grocery store and it tastes like a
restaurant
food.
Yeah.
Whole Foods is doing this thing. Have you ever, like, they're starting to do it where you just, like, walk out with your stuff and cameras and sensors, like, link to your phone and you pay.
Yeah, the police come pick you up and then you go to jail.
Yeah, I was like, well, I thought I was linked up. Oh,
I'm linked up. Link this. Their sausage is linked up, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Well, I did that. There was an Amazon thing like that the other day. Mm-hmm. Remember, not the other day. There is one. But about a month ago, it is in Manhattan. And remember, you know, I bought that great green suit.
Oh, baby. Oh, Kelly yeah. Green.
Ooh, you look so good in that suit.
Thank you. Well, I also got a second suit with it because I wanted to try the sizes and stuff. And the one I didn't want, I'm not going to keep it, so I don't need two green suits. So I brought it back to the like walk-in Amazon thing and returned it. The guy had like checked off, you know, scanned it. I was all set. And I get this fucking email. It's like, you never returned it. You've got like 30 days to return it or else we're going to charge you full for the thing. I was like, well, I returned this. I don't understand. It's gone.
It's gone.
It's tough to. I don't know how to contact anyone over at Amazon. They're fucking nuts.
Just show up. Go to that warehouse.
I know. I just should go back there and say, "All right, look at me. Look at me in the eyes. And tell me I wasn't here 2 months ago."
I just met a slophead the other night. I was flapping my trap out on the sidewalk in Los Feliz, and a guy came up to me. He's probably listening right now. Hey, dude. And he said, hey, I'm a big fan of the podcast. I'm from Denver, but I'm in town because I'm going up to Bakersfield to pitch to Amazon. He was like a VR guy pitching a VR product to Amazon. And he said their offices were up in Bakersfield. I said, Bakersfield? Oh. And he said, yeah, because that's like where the huge headquarters of like, you know, like the shipping center. It makes sense, like just outside of a giant city in a quiet little place to have your big giant Amazon facility. Mm.
Amazonian size.
Hey, we got to do VR for the blowout. You guys have never done like the new VR stuff, huh?
No, I hear it's cool though. Or you've told me about it.
It's great.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's VR thing, I want to say this guy's name was Mike from Denver. It wasn't VR, like this is the whole new world happening, dudes. We should invest. Yeah. This is not about fun. He was working for this company that does
let's do that for the blowout.
Forklift operator certification virtually so that you could learn how to drive a forklift and actually get certified and you didn't have to actually like do it. You know, it's a dangerous thing as you're learning it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I even thought he was kind of like, it was a comedy thing because forklift certification is sort of heavily like memed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then he took out, he showed me the website. I was like, no, this is like real forklifts. This is like real shit. And you can learn on an Oculus.
Huh.
Yeah,
it's
like,
I wonder.
Go ahead.
I wonder if now I lost my train. Go ahead, Jeff, and I'll bring it back around.
Like it's funny, all these simulators. Like even when I was a kid, I had a flight simulator on my PC, and it was so true to life that it was like inoperable by a child.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean.
Right. It wasn't like a video game where it's just like, oh, this is the gas, and here's your yoke.
Yeah,
here's your stick. It was like, well, you got to talk to the tower first. You didn't talk to the tower, and it's like,
I don't want to talk to the tower.
And you know, like there's a trucker simulator now that's like really faithful. And with all these VR things, I bet you they can really, really put you in an actual thing, an actual device or an actual vehicle that operates exactly the way that they really do, and you can get certified. That's wild.
I had a neighbor, I would go to his house, he like had Super Nintendo, and I would go over there and he'd be like, I think I'm just gonna play the flight simulator, and he would like, you know, I'd watch him like put the flaps up and talk to the tower. I was like, all right, I'm gonna play Battletoads. Good luck. The hardest fucking game in history.
I remember hanging out over at a friend's house and his dad was on the computer all night. I was like, man, your dad sure works a lot. And I look at the monitor and he was doing a flight simulator. He was a dork. Sorry, dude. Your dad's a dork.
That reminds me of, you know, that line in The Simpsons when Milhouse has like a remote control plane and Bart's like, come on, make it do some loops, make it crash. He's like, the goal of every RC flyer is to have a perfect like a level flight.
Milhouse is such a
what I was
dweeb.
What I was gonna say, he's a dweeb, he's got the flood pants. What I was gonna say about the VR stuff is like, aren't a lot of video games like they're like tested with the army first? Like people, that's how people learn about combat or something, and then that like technology gets siphoned down into games.
Huh?
Is that crazy?
I don't know, man. I think
Call of Duty is how people learn how to be soldiers.
That's how they desensitize people to pull the trigger on their fellow man.
Mm.
You can never desensitize me. I'm a very sensitive guy.
Yeah, you can't desensitize
me. I don't want to kill anyone.
You'll be out there singing songs about beers to his enemies.
MGD. Oh, boy. I had a nice crisp MGD the other day. I was out at Casa Bianca.
I was out in the woods.
Yeah. I was scrounging around the ditches in the out there in the meadow. No, I was at Casa Bianca Pizza Pie in Eagle Rock. I'm eating pizza and I say, look at this, MGD on the menu.
Ooh.
I order it. Comes out in one of those new bottles. Remember we saw they changed the bottle to
it's red and black.
Red and black and... it's great, you know, that's a good pizza beer, a nice crisp light beer like that, cold bottle, but then in a clear bottle, I put up to my lips, I swear to God, it's ever so slightly more of a wide mouth bottle than typical bottles. Not enough.
You could tell by the gauge. You're like, this is a big one.
But it wasn't big enough to like that you would note it. It wasn't like a Mickey's bottle. But you know,
like a Big Slam. Remember Big Slam?
Yeah, but it was not no Big Slam, Jay. This was this was more like how McDonald's straws are just slightly wider.
You don't
notice it, but you suck down.
Quite a boba straw.
Quite a Boba Fett.
No.
But for the MGD, I love drinking beer with pizza, but I also don't want it to foam up and make me full because I'm going to have 8 slices of pizza. Yeah. So that wide top helped me sip and not foam. Less glug, more chug.
Well, you say 8 slices of pizza. This is the place that does, they make their pizzas on Ritz crackers, right?
I wish.
Yeah.
This thing tastes like black licorice and... I've been coming around on. I traditionally don't really love black licorice as a flavor, but I've been drinking more Amaro, and I've been loosening up on that stance. And I'm like, there's interesting within the world of the 10 Amaro bottles I have. I'm saying this one's a little like this. Oh, and this one's a little like this. But this absinthe, it really just is good and plenty. You know?
Yeah.
Especially when you put it together, because I'll confess, as I was making this, I used the same tablespoon for my absinthe as I did for my grenadine, and I licked it.
Ew.
That was exactly good and plenty, because it's the cherry sugar and the absinthe together.
Oh, it's kind of got a Mike and Ike in there.
Yeah, it's exactly. Exactly, capsule-shaped candy.
For the amount of gin that's in here, I don't taste it at all.
Yeah, but you feel it, don't you? Because you get a little warm in the face.
Yeah.
So
we haven't.
I was.
We haven't done this in a while.
On...
But who do you? Who do you? Oh, I cut you off. I'm going to continue to cut you off.
Let's be honest. I deserve to be cut off.
The who we haven't done this in a while. Who would drink this drink? Like, who do you picture drinking this drink?
I guess I'm picturing just the kind of. Windbag guy who wants to talk about his drink all night.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's monkey gland.
Like a podcast host or a similarly annoying fellow.
Yeah, you know those windbags.
You know the type.
It's actually named after a monkey's nuts, man.
I mean, isn't it really hard? Look, we've got cocktail aficionados listening to this podcast, and they get our vibe, and they tend to drop their shoulders and let their hair down and get that we want. It's cool if you know a lot about liquor, but be welcoming. Don't be holding the rest of the world away with your knowledge. Welcome people in. And I think that during the course of this podcast, we start off by being like, we're three bozos who like MGD, and we're going to learn about cocktails. Now being more than a year in, I do find myself when I'm talking to people, especially at a bar, I have to check like when I'm talking about a drink here. I don't know enough to actually be pretentious about it, but like, am I going to start sounding like one of these windbag fuckers?
Right.
Because
I
only remember an interesting factoid about like every other drink. A lot of the drinks are unremarkable. And if you were like, The sidecar, or a rusty nail. I'm like, oh yeah, what was that one again?
Those are two notable drinks. But continue.
Oh yeah, but I mean, they can't all be like Trinidad sours and stuff. You know,
the
what I
rusty
mean?
Nail was a stone cold classic.
Yeah. But okay, rusty nail was what? Ginger ale and cognac.
Right, I get you. I can't remember.
Or was that a horse's neck?
That was horse's neck. Rusty nail was Drambuie. Okay, and scotch.
Drambuie.
Okay, right, but right. Look, I'm gonna say that monkey gland. If in 3 months, if you're like, Dutz, how about a monkey gland? If you see me at a bar, hey, Dutz, I'm going to be like, what was that one again? This one is already feeling a little bit like unremarkable.
Well, I'm with you because there's a fundamental thing with this one, which is like you're mixing up a cocktail. You want the alchemy of things becoming greater than the sum of the parts.
Oh, so a balance.
I like that.
Exactly. Kind of like the three hosts of this podcast. Mm. Not so great on their own. Put them together. It's almost like there's the fourth host, you know?
Well, I don't know. Questions for Lennon is soaring right now.
That's true. But they have good guests.
Good guests. That's more of a guest show.
Plus, Blowout is hosted by the host of the Blowout's pretty good.
Yeah, and also the Pay Pig has no show, and that's the best tier of all. So, those other ones, Jeff, the Rusty Nail, I thought it was brilliant because Drambuie on its own is a little too sweet. Cut it with some scotch, and it's a great drink. And then you mentioned the sidecar. Also delicious. Cognac, triple sec, and lemon. The triple sec is a little orangey. The cognac is a little warm.
Yeah, okay. Look, Tim, I picked bad ones. You know there's forgettable drinks.
I'm going to dance on your grave over this. I know there's worse drinks, and I'm saying that this one, I'm drinking a sludge that only tastes like one of the ingredients. So whoever this was, be it Harry or Ritz, you done fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I think it's with the absinthe. I think this has happened with us before. It's basically just an absinthe drink.
It is, but we're learning.
You know what I mean?
When we did the Sazerac, we had to do an absinthe rinse on the inside of our glass and then discard the absinthe. And we were like, "What a waste! Sucks. Why are we doing this?"
And now we got it, and we're complaining.
But now we know because it would have just tasted like good and plenty.
I bet this would be a lot better with just a rinse.
That's the right way to go, though. Not the rinse, but the spritz. The
yeah, and maybe a little bit of.
That's what you want. A
Wait a minute. Yeah, a little bit of.
A nice little question mark fart. I'm looking through our old recipes and like trying to think of what are some weirdies. What are some weirdies? All the ones that I can't remember are cognac ones, Sazerac.
There's drinks you don't remember. We haven't done that many pods. I remember every
tuxedo. You know, like there's a bunch of these that I'm like, what was that again?
I can't remember what's in a tuxedo.
The tuxedo was like a martini variation.
Yeah, gin and vermouth and
made in Tuxedo, New York, or something.
That's right.
Yeah, Yellowbird, we love. All right, but enough of that. Do we do a second round? Do we need a second round?
I have more left over in my shaker that didn't fit my glass, so I might go grab that.
Shaker.
Shaker's right. Diner in Pasadena. We used to laugh at the sign and say, Shakers.
Folks, we'll be right back, and we'll talk about our final thoughts.
Great.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And we're back talking about our final thoughts on the monkey gland.
Hey. This monkey gland, it's not in order again. You're not going to order it. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to be ordered again. You don't don't order it again.
Don't order it in the first place.
Don't order it in the first place. Unless you have run, your favorite food is good and plenty, and you've run out.
Well, I got to get some good and plenty. I'll go to a bar. Next best thing. I thought of this term this afternoon when I was buying my gin. I was very excited to use this, but unfortunately, I cannot. This drink is not a this is not a GGD. This is not a good gin drink. Unfortunately,
it's not.
It's too bad because I really wanted to use that.
Good old Grateful Dead.
I want to be happy to use that, but it's not. It's just not.
It's it's an affront to the gin. It masked. We love that junipery gin here on the Sloppy Boys show.
Yeah.
It's all just covered up, but it kind of makes me happy that I like disliking a drink. I feel like that's kind of a fun to just have a week and be like, hey folks, it's a clunker. Even Tim, I like you guys are you go back and forth a little bit more. Mike, we all know the things that you hate. Me, I think I kind of tend to like the drink every week. This one, I'm telling you, I'm not gonna say bad drink. But I'm saying, saying it's not like, an order
you,
again.
If you gave me free monkey glands all night, I'd be like, okay, great, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And then it's also just like, why would you do that, though? Because any other drink is better. This drink, before we put the absinthe in it, was probably a nice little
gin tequila thing. Sunrise. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Huh. Michael? Your thoughts and feelings?
No, I will echo Tim. This is an GGD, not a good gin drink, and it is not something I will order again. Sorry.
Yeah.
What are you guys thinking though? In the grand scheme of things, that tastes like black licorice. Hmm. Like I was saying, I've been kind of warming to certain Amaro and things like that. Do you? The Good and Plenty flavor, is that a big thumbs down to you? Do you like Good and Plenty?
No.
I do like Good and Plenty, but when it's like Halloween and it's in a bowl of candy, it's the fun size. Like Good and Plenty, I try a few and go, I'm not going to have these anymore.
I'm good for three capsules.
Yeah.
Three caplets.
And I'll just swallow those like a pill. I don't even chew. Well.
You know, how about this? Twizzlers. Do you guys do Twizzlers?
No.
The red ones, yeah.
Even the reds I don't like.
I prefer red vines.
I'll tell you, I don't do a Twizzler. I don't do a red vine.
You don't?
Hey, Jeff, waxy.
Give you a little hint.
Red vines are waxy. I'll give you that.
You're drinking your Coke out of a glass. Let's say you got like a Batman or a Calpe cordial.
Sure.
use a red vine as your straw. It's kind of fun. Mm, okay. You got to bite the ends off.
You can spit them out if you need to, Jeff, but you do have to bite them. Right.
Have you guys, there's a pasta that's shaped like a straw.
Bucatini.
Stratini.
During COVID, there was a bucatini shortage. It was so popular.
Is it long like a straw or a short little straw?
Long. A short one would be more like a penne, right? Or a ziti. But then the long, thin, it kind of just looks like a spaghetti, but
then
you...
It's thin. But there's a negative space running through its body.
Kind of like us after these monkey glands that left us cold.
Well, hey, my final thoughts on this are the same as yours. It's fine. And it's a C.
I mean, I am enjoying the taste. Like now I feel the slightest buzz coming on and I sip the drink and I'm like, oh, it's kind of fancy.
Oh,
but
it'll do the job.
Good.
Yeah.
It'll, you know.
What I'm going to do is, now that I got the gin out, I'm going to, or the gin's in the freezer, I'm going to make myself a martini for the blowout, which, you know, this week we talked about Kanye Genius, the documentary. So go back and listen. That's why I'll be acting the way I'm acting on that.
We're mixing our tenses.
I'm going to make something because we are going to have talked about. Mike, you're brilliant. A martini, why waste the gin in this when you could just have yourself maybe the best cocktail? You know,
or like, look, I bet you this would be good if you did exactly what you do, but instead of the tablespoon of absinthe, you give it a little
rinse. Yeah. And then after a few of these, you go, back to your bedroom and you go.
Yeah. Bedroom. And then in the morning, you know, you got to.
This is a good podcast. People are learning from us. Like, oh, so I should wake up in the morning and go to the bathroom. Yeah, that's
the routine.
Drink at night and then eliminate and my
then,
bowels.
And then... It's that simple, folks.
Yep. When you hear that rooster crow, it's time to push logs.
When the rooster crows, your underpants you will throw off your knees.
Got a nice ring to it.
Off your knees.
So memorable.
I guess past the knees would be best.
Hey, these monkey glands aren't so bad.
Honey, I gotta go throw my underpants past my knees. Don't ask.
Sounds like such a panicked throw high velocity.
I gotta yeet my fucking jeans.
The monkey gland, if you're gonna compliment it, it's nice and strong because it had an ounce and a half of gin, and then that tablespoon, the absinthe is high proof. So that's a tipsy little cocktail. I like that.
Yeah.
That's
not and then bad. Also, to fill your glass, did you make just one? Because I feel like just for the picture and for my own enjoyment, I made a 1.5, not quite a double.
Ah.
What did you guys do? Did you just make one and it filled a glass?
I did the IBA recipe and my cocktail glass is only like one of these like 2.5 ounces or whatever. No, 4.5 ounces. Mm. So I couldn't fit it all in there. So it was 2 rounds.
Yeah, mine made it just like right up, exactly up to where it needed to be.
Like a Greek pour.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
The Greek pours are a hit online. Everyone keeps sharing us when you have a glass of wine poured up to the rim, we like seeing it.
Yeah, the Greek pour is funny.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. And hey, need more boys? Follow us on Patreon and you can get The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode.
It kind of rocks.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Folks, we love seeing you every week.
Yes.
Seeing your shining faces. How do we normally sign off this thing?
You say goodbye. Goodbye, folks. That's it.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
I mean, didn't you say your spiel? That's the show. We do the...
Yeah. You know, I got to read it most of the time because the monkey glands start hitting.
Well, you know, it's always a good opportunity, Jeff, if you're closing out the Sloppy Boys podcast, to point out that to the people out there who think that Tim can't write a good organ counter melody...
Right.
Keep your ears peeled because you're about to have your whole world turned upside down by give it up for your boy.
Goodbye, folks.